It's in yesterday, the Mishnah, and we're going to quickly run through the Mishnah again. From what time is Kirin Gvurot Kshamim? Do we mention the greatness of God, that He brings rain? And we're talking about the blessing of Gvurot, the blessing, the second blessing in Shemona Esre, the blessing Atagibod Olam Hashem, which we mention all of God's great attributes, not all, but some of them. And among them we mention God brings rain to the world during the winter season when we want the rain. So from what time do we start mentioning it? Rav Lezer says, Miyom Torah Shom Shechag, from the first day of the holiday of Sukkot. Rav Yeshua says, Miyom Tavachon Shechag, we start mentioning rain from the last day of Sukkot. So everyone agrees that we make mention of the rain, but the disagreement is, when do we begin making mention of the rain? Being that rain, you agree with me, are only a sign of curse if they come during the holiday itself, and we're supposed to be sitting out in the sukkah, why should he mention it in his prayer? Rav Lezer said to him, Afanilo amati lishol, I too did not say that one should ask for rain during Sukkot, one should mention that God has this great attribute, that He is the one that makes the wind go back and forth and brings the rain in its season, and the season begins around Sukkot. Rav Yeshua said, if you consider mentioning it, not you make this discernment, you say, I'm only mentioning it, I'm not asking it, you should always mention the fact that God brings rain. Here we went off to the other topic, and shalim takshamim ela samuch lakshamim. We don't ask for rain any time other than near the time when we want the rain, and then we go back to discussing the question of when do we make mention of that attribute. The one who goes before the teva, before the ark, the chazan who is going to be the chazan on the last day of Sukkot, Hacharon Mazkir, the last chazan, meaning the chazan for Musaf, he starts mentioning that attribute of rain, Mashabroch Mordegeshim, Harishon, the first chazan, no Mazkir, he does not make mention of it, the chazan of Shachris, Piyonto Hashon Shepesach, and this is the only time in the Mishnah when we discuss when do we pause from saying Mashivaroch Mordegeshim. Up until now, the Mishnah was focused on Mei Eimatai, the first word, from when. Eimatai means when, then I would need both borders. Eimatai means when, meaning when do I begin, when do I end. Mei Eimatai means I'm focused on from when. We asked from when. We spent the whole beginning of the Mishnah discussing from when. Now the last line of the Mishnah is going to discuss until when. So until when do you mention the fact that God is the one that brings rain to the world? So then the Mishnah says, B'yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach, the first day of Pesach, the first holiday of Pesach, Pesach, the first day is a holiday, you have 5 days no holiday, and the last day is a holiday. So the first day of Pesach, which is the first holiday, so to speak, of Pesach, Harishon, in the morning, the one who says Shachris is still Maskir, he still makes mention of the fact that God brings rain to the world, and Acharon, and again in Musaf, Eino Maskir is when we make the changeover that we no longer mention that God is the one bringing rain to the world. Tana Echakai, the one who's quoting our Mishnah, where is he coming from? Diktani Me'ematai, that he opens with the question, from when do you start mentioning rain? Where was I supposed to know that we mention rain from? He's assuming I know that already. Where is he coming from? Tana Hatamkai, the Tana is going on there. Diktani, that the Mishnah says in Brachot, Maskirin Gvurot Kshamim B'Tchiyat Amitim, we make mention of God's greatness, that He brings rain, in which blessing? And the blessing of Tchiyat Amitim, the blessing where we stress that God brings back the dead. V'shoalin, and when do we ask for rain? B'Virkat Hashanim, in the blessing where we ask God to bless the years. V'Avdalah, and we mention Avdalah on Matzei Shabbos. We discuss the fact that God is the one that brought discernment to the world, the difference between holiness and the weekdays. Havdalah, when do we say Havdalah in Shmon Esre? B'chonin Adat, in the blessing of Chonin Adat. So the Mishnah in Brachot ends over here. That's the end quote of that Mishnah. That Mishnah mentioned the concept that we do say Mashiv Ruach Moed HaGeshem. So our Mishnah, Viktani, so our Mishnah says, coming off of that Mishnah in Brachot, Me'matai Maskin Gvurot Kshemim, from when do I make this mention of Mashiv Ruach Moed HaGeshem, that God is the one that brings rain to the world? And so we asked the question, we said, where are we coming from? We gave an answer, we said, we are coming from the Mishnah in Brachot. Question. So the Gemara asks, so why didn't I discuss it over there. Why didn't I mention over there? From when to when do I mention rain? Maishna, that memshin stands for Maishna. What's the difference? What happened? The Shavke, that he let it go, Adhacha, till here, where we've passed the sixth of the Shas, and only now is returning to that point. So it's unacceptable to the Gemara that we're going to go from Seder to Seder. That in Seder Zraim, right, we have the Mishnah Sotvar in Sederim. In Seder Zraim, the Tana mentions the concept of Mashiva Roch Moed Agashem, and here in Seder Moed, he's going to go back to a concept that's in a different Seder. So Gemara is saying, can't be that he left it till here. Why would he leave it till here? So it must be that we're supposed to know this concept from somewhere within Seder Moed. Ela, and whenever we have the word Ela in the Gemara, it means that we're doing away with what we've said until now. Ela means new thing. Wipe away that new, but rather new answer. Tanam Rosh Hashanah Salik. The Tanah's coming off of the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Ditnan, because the Mishnah says in Tractate Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah says, Uvechag Nidonin Alamayim. The Mishnah enumerates the different holidays and says that on each holiday God judges us for something else. And the Mishnah says that on Chag, on Sukkot, we get judged about how much water is going to come to the world for the crops. The Aidi Detana. And because he mentioned in the Mishnah, Uvechag Nidonin Alamayim, and on the holiday of Sukkot, we get judged over the water, how much water is going to come to the world. So coming off of that, Aidi Detana, because he mentioned that over there, Tana, so he also quoted in the Mishnah, Meimatay Mazkirin Gvurot Kshamim, from when do I mention the greatness of God that he actually brings the rain to the world? So we answered that I was supposed to understand from the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that there exists this concept of asking for rain. So you understand that this answer is a little bit lacking when we compare it to the other answer. We began with what question? What did we ask? How did we start off? Akiva.
I don't even know we're supposed to mention it all. The first question is, how do we know which should it be one time and one?
Where do we encounter the concept then, Shimon Esser, we ask for rain? So the first answer answered very well. It said that the Mishnah says you ask for rain. Then we say, no, it can't be, we're coming off of that Mishnah, that's in a different Seder. So now this answer, what we just answer, we said, we have a Mishnah in this Seder, which doesn't really say we ask for rain, doesn't mention that we make mention of rain in the prayer, right? All it says is that we're judged on rain for Sukkot. And then the Gemara says, okay, so coming off that, I'm asking you, from when do you ask for rain? So when do you mention rain? What does that have to do with anything? I asked, where was I supposed to know that you're supposed to mention rain? And you're answering me, there's a Mishnah that says on Sukkot we're judged for rain. What's the answer? Right? You guys following that there's a missing link here?
Yeah.
So, we turn to our Rebbe Rashi, and we ask him, okay, let's see what Rashi fills us in. Let's skip for a second. To Rashi Ella. You have Rashi Ella? If you go from where it says Gemara, the big Gimel Mem in the Gemara, you go right and down two lines, you have the last word on the line is Ella.
Right next to the beginning, the Sham Lam is Gimel.
Right. So, says Rashi, we're starting from the second answer. Ella, lo teima, don't think, deha diktani me'eimatai, deha tamkai, don't think that the fact that the Mishnah begins with the words me'eimatai is going on there. He's going on that Mishnah in Brachot. The Tana Merosh Hashanah Salik. Because our Tana is coming off of the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Sheshnehem beseder echaden. Because the Mishnah here in Tanis and the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah are both within the same Seder. Lehachi, therefore, lo matzi lemeima maishna deshav kiadhacha. That's why the Gemara couldn't ask, hey, wait a second, from Rosh Hashanah to Tanis, you have a bunch of Masechtas in the middle. They're not adjacent to one another, Rosh Hashanah and Tanis. So why didn't the Gemara ask the same question? Why'd you wait till here? So the Rashi says, because once they're in the same Seder, it's okay. We're continuing. Bechag, the Mishnah over there said, Bechag Avidin Alamayim. You guys with me? Everyone seems puzzled.
Because obviously they didn't teach the thing. Rabbi didn't teach the Mishnah in order. In whatever order that the students wanted.
Okay.
But there's assumption they got the Seders together.
Correct. Bechag Avidin Alamayim, Umishum Detani Meimatai, Havidina Lamaim Ktanin Ami Matai's Man Haskara. So Rashi says, Becha Gam Sukkot. Everyone with me? Yeah? Havidin Alamayim. And Sukkot is when we get judged for the water. Umishum Ditani Me Matai Havidin Alamayim. Because the Mishnah records from when we're judged on the water. Ktanin Ami. So therefore we also mention in the Mishnah, Ematai's Man Haskara. When is the time that we mention, that we ask God, that we mention the fact that God brings water to the world?
You mentioned the Mishnah there, saying?
What?
It says in the Mishnah there, we mentioned about the word judge at that time, right? That's what Rashi is saying also there. Is it mentioned in the Mishnah there also, but that's when we start?
No. So this Rashi is in parentheses. It's unclear whether we're supposed to have it in our version of the Rashi or not. Let's continue to the next Rashi. Vaydi detani bechag nidonin. Klomar, as if to say. Whenever Rashi has the word klomar, you have to understand that Rashi's putting in a few words into the Gemara. It means, the words aren't exactly what I'm going to tell you now. That's why it's as if to say. Agav detana bechag nidonin alamayim. By the way that we, so to speak, as an extension of, by the way, that the Mishnah mentioned in Rosh Hashanah, Bechag Nidonin Alamayim, that on Sukkot we get judged how much water is going to be brought to the world. Kasava b'nafshe, the Tana says, he thought to himself, Ho'il v'nidonin bechag alamayim, being that we're going to be judged on Sukkot regarding how much water is going to come to the world, Shmamina, so I understand from here, see, Shin Mem is Shmamina, Mem Shin is Maishna, Shin Mem is Shmamina. Shmamina, I derive from here. Ba'inan Laskir in Yana de Maya, were required. Ba'inan. What is the word Ba'inin? Ba'i could mean one of three things. Oh, need one test. Very good. So, need, want, or ask. One of those three. The word Ba'i. So, Ba'inan means we are Ba'i, we are need. Lazkir inyana de maya, we have to mention the concept of water, liritsui alamayim, to so to speak appease God regarding water, deleitu libracha, so that they'll come to the world for a blessing. As the Gemara is going to enumerate throughout the perek, that you could have water that rains and it's a blessing, you could have water that rains and it's not a blessing. Therefore, our Mishnah says, from when do you start mentioning the rain? Because we already saw in the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah that this is the season, Sukkot, when we're going to be judged, how much rain is going to come. And it makes sense if that Mishnah says that this is when we're going to be judged over it, that over here, so our Mishnah is assuming if you're going to be judged, then it makes sense that you should start mentioning it in your prayers. You're going to be judged over it. Till here, are we all together? Just a second. Yeah? What about you? With us? Yeah? Okay. Excellent question. This answer, how does this help us? We see that the powerhouse opinion in our Mishnah is Rabbi Yoshua. Who's the strong opinion halachically in our Mishnah? Rabbi Yoshua, and he says you start after Sukkot. So what does this help us? So, you asked a great question, and I want you guys to think of a great answer. We're not asking. We start mentioning it after Sukkot, according to Rabbi Yoshua. Yeah. So let's think just a second. What's going on here? What was the question?
We start being judged on the first day of Sukkot.
Seems that way, yeah.
Yet we only mention rain on the last day of Sukkot.
Right.
So
you're bringing up a good point.
When
Sukkot, right. The asking of the rain is way after, right. Right. And the question is, are we really being judged on the first day or the last day of Sukkot? So it seems, when are we being judged?
It's not judged just with regards to rain, or you're talking about
judge? Rain.
Why is it that we're being judged? We're asking for rain because
after Sukkot passes, all the time.
The rain is. In the rainy season begins.
So God says
it's about rain in the appropriate time.
It's the last day that's dedicated to the Jewish nation, because all the other days you bring a korban for all nations. All nations are being judged up until the very last day.
Okay. Everyone's saying good things. Let's think for a second. No, you've all been thinking. Let's think for another second. What's the Gemara really doing? When the Gemara asks us, where are you coming from? Who's the Gemara asking on? Whenever there's an attack, we have to ask ourselves, who's the attack on? Who are we asking this question about? So we're asking the question about Rav Yehuda HaNasi, the compiler of the Mishnah. Now, when we're asking the question about the compiler of the Mishnah, so we could ask another question that the Gemara didn't ask here. Why is the Mishnah open with a question? From when do we mention the rain? Just tell me. You mentioned the rain here, you mentioned the rain there. Why do you begin with a question? We're going to see all of Shas filled with more than one opinion and doesn't begin with a question. Oh, so one rule I'll teach you that my Rebbe taught me is that two questions equal two questions. They don't equal an answer. You're adding a question. So you have another good question. That doesn't mean we have an answer. And sometimes you ask a question and people answer you. They say, yeah, you have that question all over. Good, so I have that question all over. That doesn't mean I have an answer. That's a common answer that guys give. Like, if you'll ask that here, so ask that everywhere, right? Right? I mean, I always got that answer. And I remember when I was like in fifth grade, I started getting that answer. I was wondering, huh, how's that answer the question? And then you sort of get used to that answer. Like, that's an answer. It's not an answer. That's just, that compounds the question. Right? I didn't realize it until Rav Pesin once told us that. Like, in the ping pong of learning. Now, when we're learning, we have to get used to a few things. We have to get used to covering ground. We have to get used to thinking. And we have to get used to the lingo of the Gemara. And we have to get used to living with questions. We could spend the time now trying to figure out the answer. And we'll have a certain element of satisfaction if we figure out some of the answer. But I'd rather get on your nerves today. Because part of learning is knowing to live with a question. People who stop to try and figure out the answer to every question very often don't get very far. In learning, you have to know to shelve questions. You have an answer on the spot? Good. You don't have an answer? Let's continue. And I think that to a great extent, part of what you'll get most of in this class are the questions. I've done this many times, having classes where we raised questions and kept going. When it was more than one-on-one, people usually quit. In a classroom setting, people don't have patience for that. But if you guys are serious and you want to learn how to learn, then one of the things you guys have to learn is not to spend more than a limited amount of time on each question. I think we might have a possible answer between what everyone's saying, but being that no one's put it all together and come up with a definitive answer, so think about it. And what I'd like is to try and find time outside of our classroom setting here to sit together and really learn, just review things, think it through, answer questions that we've had, analyze external things, maybe on Shabbos afternoon, stuff like that, where we could sit together and look over what we've seen and add stuff. Add stuff from Rishonim, add deeper understanding. We're going to have, Tanis is filled with stories. Tanis is famous. Whenever you tell someone you're learning Tanis, they say, oh, you're taking a break? Because the Gemara is filled with stories. You can see from the beginning of this Amud, it's filled with stories. It's a lot of fun. But we won't have time to delve into the depths of each story, because I'd much rather cover ground. Now, another thing, which I'm contemplating what to do, but I think that should be the way we should go, is that we should try to cover the ground. I mean, we could spend time to learn how to define each word in the Gemara, and you'll get one thing out of it. But if we cover ground, and you guys stick with it, so you'll understand what we learn, we'll try to get it as best as possible that you could review it, if you guys want to fill in the words and write it, and review each Amud twice. But from the mere fact that you'll stick with a class that runs through Gemara, you'll gain a lot. And without realizing it specifically, you're going to gain the ping-pong of the Gemara. The Gemara keeps bouncing back and forth. If you spend your whole life trying to figure out what does this word mean, what does that word mean, and breaking down each point, so sometimes you miss the whole picture. Whereas if we could run, and if we could take this Seder, this hour, to try and cover ground, then you'll get the words with time, because you'll encounter them 100 times by the mere fact that we'll be covering ground. Whereas if we take the time to define it now, you won't cover the ground. You'll have to spend the time learning it. Instead, you could learn 500 pages of Gemara and through that learn the words, because you'll have reviewed each word many, many, many times. Or you could learn one page and spend the same amount of time trying to figure out each word and memorizing it. I'd rather we cover as many pages as possible. That's my approach. Now, you guys agree with it? You guys okay with it? Okay. So let's move. Yeah, it's Bikyut. This isn't the class. I mean, this class, the point is Bikyut. So let's stick to that point. Now, when we say shelve a question, we mean remember it. I'm not saying you should review it, but remember it. And with that question in mind, that we're not really sure how the Tana answered that question, we're going to enter the new question. The Gemara is now going to ask another question. Our Mishnah used an interesting term. It said, from when do we mention Gvurot Geshamim, God's greatness that He brings rain? The Litany, and we should say in the Mishnah, Me'ematai Maskirin Ala Geshamim, when do we mention about rain? My Gvurot Geshamim. What do we mean to say when we say that God's greatness of the rain? Why does the Mishnah stress that point? Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said, and Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara is Rabbi Yochanan, who was the Amora who compiled the Talmud Yerushalmi, a great sage who was very, very good looking, who was the brother-in-law of Reish Lakish, and he had a very, very good looking sister. And when he saw Reish Lakish, who had learned Torah and left learning Torah to become an armed bandit, he told him, he was standing on the riverbanks and Reish Lakish was swimming in the river, and Reish Lakish saw the beautiful Rabbi Yochanan and he said, "Your beauty is fit for women." And Rav Yochanan told him, "And your strength is fit for Torah." So Rav Yochanan told Reish Lakish, "If you leave your job as a robber and come learn Torah, I have a sister who's better looking than me. I'll get her to marry you." So Reish Lakish agreed, and he became the great Reish Lakish. So Rav Yochanan says, "Why is it?" Our Gemara asked, "Why do we say? Why do we call the grains that come down with greatness, Gvurot Kshamim, with great power?" Amar Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan explained, "Mipnei sheyordin bigvura," because they come down with awesome might, they come down with greatness. Shenemar, and now he's going to prove it from Psukim. The Pasuk says, and we're not going to read the Agos Habach, even though for the sake of accuracy, we really should read the Agos Habach, but we're doing Bikis, so we'll have to skip that for now. Oseg dolot aden cheker, v'niflot aden mispar. One verse in Job in Eov says, God does great things beyond the ability of discernment. You can't even figure out how much greatness God does. And He does amazing things beyond what could be counted. So we're describing God's greatness as something that's in cheker. You cannot even seek out how great what God does. V'chtiv, and there's another verse which says, Hanoten matar al pnei aretz. So Eov describes God does great things, and He brings rain on the ground. Veshulech mayim al pnei chutzot, and He sends the waters out throughout the marketplaces, throughout the cities. So that's Rav Yochanan's proof. Mei mashma, the Gemara says. Notice it's not pronounced mai, but rather mei. Mai is what? Mei means from where. Mei mashma. From where do you get that from? How did Rav Yochanan answer our question? How do you see that from the psukim that the rain is something that's gvura, that comes down with greatness? Amar Rabba Bar Sheila, Rabba the son of Sheila said, Atya cheker cheker mibriato shel olam. We say that the word cheker is a word that we find here when Eov describes the rain, right? We said oseg dolot aden cheker v'niflot aden mispar. So we had the word cheker. Cheker means to seek out, lachkor. And then Eov also described that God brings rain. And in creation, it also uses the word cheker. Why? K'tivacha oseg dolot aden cheker. Over here it says God. Cheker means to seek out, levarer. It says over here, Oseg dolot aden cheker, God does great things beyond what one can seek out, one can find out. V'chtivatam, and it says over there, Halo yadata, don't you know, im lo shamata, haven't you heard, Elohei olam Hashem, the God of the world is Hashem, borek tzot haaretz, He creates the edges of the earth, lo yaf, God doesn't tire, v'lo yiga, and He doesn't wear out, en cheker litvunato, you cannot seek out, you can never figure out the understanding that God has. So what do we have here? We had the word Chekel, right? So we said, Hashem is the one who creates the world. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't wear out. There's no, you can never seek out how wise God is. So we have the word Chekel when we're describing the creation of the world. God created the edges of the earth. Vichtiv, and with regard to creation of the world, King David describes it as God is Mechin Harim. He gives the foundation to the mountains. Bechocho, with his strength. Ne'ezar, he girdles himself. He, like, puts on a belt. Bigvuha, with awesome might. So when God gave the foundations to the mountains, that's described as something that he did, Bigvuha. So let's work our way back now. We said Gvuha over here regarding the foundations of the mountains, which is creation. We had the word Cheker in the verse in Isaiah regarding creation. So we have creation equals Gvura, and creation which equals Gvura has the term Cheker. And regarding rain, we have the word that Eov says that God is Ein Cheker. Right? So we worked all our way back. This is not a Hekesh, no. This is something like a Gzeiras Shava. If you'd ask the average person, he'd tell you it's a Gzeiras Shava. So we could leave it at that for today. It isn't really, but it's from the family of Gzeirat Shava, where you have one word and you're saying if this word appears here like this and this word appears there like that, it's very good. The problem is that you don't do Gzeiras Shava to figure out why the Tana used the word to describe rain. Gzeiras Shava isn't really, doesn't work that way. Gzeiras Shava is to derive a halacha. Gzeiras Shava is something we have in tradition. Here we're coming and asking, why did the Tana use the term to describe rain as something God does with great might? Well, let me ask you a question. What do I care? What difference does it make? What's the Gemara looking for here?
Tries to bring
Bruce from Sukkim, that what? And
then Rava is analyzed. And then the Gemara asks, so what is he trying to say?
Fine. So let's follow what happened here. Let's go through the Gemara. You guys have to understand. When my father used to start giving classes in Gemara, he'd say, when we learn Gemara, take God out of the classroom. And the idea is that religiosity is something that's very good. But when you're learning the Gemara, you have to be prepared to attack. You have to say, I don't understand. We're not looking to make it work. We're looking to understand. If we understand, it works. It's not a game. It's true. Whatever it says in the Gemara makes 100% sense. And everything was said here with the greatest intellect and the greatest understanding and far beyond what we'll ever be able to discern. But when we come to learn Gemara, we have to come and say, my job is to seek out what did the Gemara want. And in order to seek out, I have to be open to say, I don't understand. It does not make sense to me. If you say it does not make sense, then a person is being proud. He thinks he knows what makes sense. If you say it does not make sense to me, then a person is being humble. He's saying, I, with my limited understanding, do not understand. But a person has to be able to walk forward and say, I don't understand. So now let's work through the Gemara and see how we do not understand. You guys thought you were coming here in order to understand. It's not our goal here. Velitni. So the Gemara says, let us say in the Mishnah, Me'matai Mazkirin. You guys with me? Velitni? You have that word? Yes, we're going back. We're starting the Gemara from what we saw again now, this last section.
The litany is somewhere there. The litany.
Second word in the line. You guys have it?
Yeah. The litany hatam.
No, the litany may aim at them. The litany. You guys got it? Okay, so we're going back. The Gemara is saying, "Velitni, and let our Mishnah say, Me'matai maskirin ala gshamim. From when do we mention about rain? My givurot gshamim. What is the Mishnah stressing when it says, when it calls the rain that comes down with great might? So the question we understand. What's the answer? Amar Rav Yochanan, mipnei sheyodim migvura, because they come down with greatness. The answer we understand. Where are we going to get stuck? In the proof. Shenemar, as the verse states, and now we have all the quotations. He quotes two psukim, we ask where does he see it from, we quote a few more psukim, and we say there, you put it all together, and you have that the psukim call rain something that's with gvura. either psukim don't call it that. We say, yeah, but put the psukim together.
Yeah.
It describes creation as cheker, and creation is gvura, and rain is also cheker, so rain must also be gvura. That's the basic formula. Till here, we're all together. Yeah? Next line. Uminalan. And from where do you know de bitfila, that in prayer? What is this question? You guys do homework?
Yep.
If I leave you with an assignment, will you do it? A challenge. Till here we've all been together. On this line, I want you guys to think about it. Work through the Gemara. We're going to learn this line loosely. We're going to learn the answer and continue. And this line I want you to think about, and I'll give you a clue. Maybe we'll even find that this line changes our perspective on the previous answer, and maybe it even answers on the question which we asked beforehand. What was the Gemara asking? Why does the Mishnah begin with Me'ematai? And what the connection is to Rosh Hashanah? So I'm saying, maybe we'll figure out an answer that weaves together all the questions we've been asking until now. Maybe. So now, the Gemara asks, Uminalan, and from where do we know that bitfila in prayer? So this obviously is going back about something we just said. You said that rain is called Gvurot Kshamim, the awesomeness of rain. So from where do you know that this is applicable in prayer? What's the Gemara asking? The Gemara is asking, from where do you know that you pray for rain?
No, where do we know that we put this dimension of the rains, of the greatness, the strength of the rains, in Dafkin Mishmon Esrei? Why not
okay.
The Shema? Why not?
Okay, fine. So you're saying the question is, how do we know that we make mention of this awesome might of God that He brings rain in prayer? Ditanya, because we have Tanaik quote that did not make it into the Mishnah, a Braisa comes from the word bara. Bara, Beis Reish Aleph in Aramaic means external. Braita means those Tanaik quotes which are external to the Mishnah. Bara with a hey in Hebrew means to create. Bereshit bara, God created the world. I'm sorry, with an aleph. Bara in Hebrew with an aleph is to create, but bara in Aramaic means external. How do we know that in prayer? And Yoshua wants to say that the question over here is, how do we know that in prayer is where we're going to make mention of God's greatness, that He brings rain and that we ask for it? Titania, as the Braisa says, we say in Shema every day, God says one of our responsibilities is to love Hashem, your God, and to serve Him with all your hearts. Le'ovdo, to work for Him, to serve Him, b'chol levavchem, with all of your hearts. What does it mean, work for Him with all of your hearts? Ezu yavodah she'balev, what is the work, the service that one could do with his hearts? Eve omeo zot fila, so I say, that's prayer. How do you work, serve your Creator with your heart? That's in prayer. V'chtiv batre, and it says following that in the verse over there in Shema, v'natatim etal artzechem b'ito yoreu malkosh, and I will give the rain of your land at its proper time. Yore is the early rain and Malkosh is the late rain. There are two seasons for rain. They're not very far apart, but one's the early rain and one is the late rain. So what was the question? What was the answer? The
question was, where do we see the connection between Tfilot and rain? The answer is that in the verse in Shema from which we derive prayer, i.e. you should work with your heart, that work with the heart being
Oh, so now weave it backward. Doing very well. Just work your way back now. So what have we done here? Yeshua has explained that our basic question was, how do we connect prayer with rain? Very good. Rain is one of God's great things, but who said we should ask for it in prayer? So now we've proven from the verses in Shema that we're supposed to serve Hashem with our hearts, we're supposed to pray, and right afterwards God says, I'll give you rain. So our prayer is connected to rain. Now, let's work our way back. What did we see in the Gemara till here?
Till here, we've seen why we specifically asked for, why specifically the grain is for rain. I mean, what is the source of asking for rain at all?
Let's skip back for a second. We had one big question. We said, how does the Gemara take for granted that there's a connection between the fact that it says in Rosh Hashanah that we get judged for rain on Sukkot, and from that we're supposed to infer, therefore I'm supposed to pray for rain or mention God's greatness of rain next it. Have we answered that here? Oh, so if the work of our heart is also to mention rain, if we serve God with prayer, then God will give rain. So then, it doesn't say, or anywhere over here, it didn't say we should ask for rain. What was the question? If the question was, how do you know you're supposed to pray for rain? So all it says is, you serve God, you serve Him, you pray correctly before Him. So that could mean, I pray correctly, I say, God, you are great, you are awesome, you are mighty, please give me help, God, you are awesome, great and mighty, thank you very much. And I pray, prayer always has to begin with praise, end with praise, and have a request in the middle. That's the definition of prayer. So I praised in the beginning, I praised in the end, I made a request in the middle. So maybe if I do that, I'll get rain. How do I know that I'm still supposed to make mention of the rain? So you're saying that's common sense. It says the reward will be rain. It doesn't say ask for rain. It says you pray, you'll get rain. Right? It didn't say pray for rain. I'm with you.
The question is, how do we know when to ask for rain?
I don't know, just ask for rain. It's another mesach that we've mentioned. We learned it in Brachos.
Mentioning the rain is part of the praise, not part of the request.
No, it's a reward.
It's also...
It's a reward. It's not the request.
No, right. The Shavuot comes later. First, you start mentioning. This is what the, right? This is what Rabbi Yosh, Rabbi Eliezer says back to Rav Yeshua. He said, I didn't say ask.
But according to the Shema, it's the reward for observing the mitzvah. You don't have to request for it. God will give you rain in season if you observe the mitzvah.
And but that mitzvah is to praise God.
Praise God, but who said with rain?
So by mentioning this, that's when it's gurah. Gurah is that rain specifically, by mentioning rain, we're specifically mentioning the greatness of God.
Okay, so now you've switched what we said until now. Beforehand, the Gemara was pushing us in the direction of saying, how do you know rain is the greatness of God? And you're going the other way. You're saying, once it's the greatness of God, then it makes sense that when I praise God and I praise His greatness, I'll also mention the rain. You see what Yoshua did? He worked it the other way, which is also true. I'll even stick in a Tosus here, but don't tell anyone. Tosus says, the Pasuk says, God does greatness and mighty things. It uses a lot of terms to describe the rain. That same pasuk which we're quoting doesn't only use the word gvura. So say gdulos kishamim, say niflos kishamim. You have other words of praise that this same pasuk uses to describe the rain. So Tosa says, yeah, but what's this whole blessing called? The blessing is atok gibor. It's the blessing in which we mention how great God is. So that's why we're also going to include and call it the greatness of rain, because that's gvuros. Now let's continue. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We're continuing with Rabbi Yochanan.
The Baraita ended after the Baraita was only describing that work of the heart, the work of the leg is prayer. And the connection was between the Gemara, between that and the rain. We see the Zushila.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of the Baraita?
I think so. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We have another quote from Rabbi Yochanan. So again, our Gemara, the Babylonian Talmud, is quoting Rabbi Yochanan, who's the great Yerushalmi sage, the one who compiled the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Talmud Yerushalmi was compiled when, with respect to the Babylonian Talmud?
75 years before.
I think it's 70 years. I think 70 years before the Babylonian Talmud. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says the following thing. Gimel maftechot, there are three keys, biyado shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the hands of God, that were not given over into the hands of a messenger. The Eluhen, and these are they. These are the three keys that God keeps on His keychain. Doesn't give to anyone else. Maftach shel geshamim, the key for rain. Maftach shel chaya, the key for childbirth. Chaya is the midwife, the one who gives birth. Umafteach shel tchiyat hametim, and the key to bringing back people from the dead. Umafteach shel gishamim. How do we know the key for rain is in God's hands? He doesn't give it over. Dichtiv yiftach Hashem lecha et otzaro atov et hashamayim latet mitar artzecha beito. We say God, when Moshe blesses the Jewish people, he blesses them. He says, God should open to you his good storage houses, the heavens, meaning he should open the heavens to give rain, latet mitar artzecha beito, to give the rain in your land at its set time. So we see that Moshe says that has to happen with God's hand. God should open you that storage house. That means that the key for rain is in God's hand. Maftach shel chaya, the key for a woman giving birth. Minayin, from where do we know this? Dichtiv, because the verse says, Vayizkor Elokim et Rachel. After all the matriarchs and the wives of Jacob, Yaakov's wives all had children, Vayizkor Elokim et Rachel, God remembered Rachel. Vayishma elei Elokim, God listened to Rachel. Vayiftach et Rachma, he opened up her womb. So we see God himself personally opened up Rachel's womb, so the key to having children is in God's hands. Remember that. Remember that. Now, you guys want to get a little confused? Okay, so there's another Gemara that says, Bni chaye umzone, bni, children, chaye, long life, umzone, and food, lo bezchut atalia milta, is not contingent on your zchut, on how much merits you have, ela bemazla atalia milta, that's contingent on what mazel you're born in. How do you reconcile those two?
Mazel meaning consolation?
Something like that, yeah. Not one. We have to discuss mazel at greater length. There's a Gemara which Rashi explains that mazel is everyone's angel correspondent in heaven. Mazel is a term that needs discussion. But at any rate, now you're intelligent fellows. How do you reconcile the two Gemaras?
What were the three things there?
The that Gemara says bni chaya umzone lo bezchut atalia milta ala mazla atalia milta. Bni, children, chaye, longevity, long life, mizone, food, meaning parnasa, that's not contingent on your merits, that's contingent on your mazel. Our Gemara says that the key for having children, for chaya, is in the hands of God, no one else. The key for parnasa, it seems to say, the key for rain is also in the hands of God.
Our segula to being Jews is partially due to the fact that Hashem chose us, partially due to the fact that we do the mitzvah. But the majority of it, the gross majority, from what I've learned, is due to Hashem's choosing of us. We have what to do, but it's not in our hands that Hashem chose us. It's in Hashem's hands. Just because it's in Hashem's hands, the key is in Hashem's hands, doesn't mean that it will come necessarily in accordance to the effort we put forth.
Let's get back to that. I want to finish the two dots. What?
Maybe through the timing of when you actually, it's in Hashem's hands that it rains. Well, it's in our hands. It's not in his hands in terms of when, what time of the month is it.
Okay, let's continue, and then if we have a chance, we'll try to expand on this a little bit. Tchiyat HaMetim Minayin, from where do we know that bring the dead back to life, the key to that is in God's hands. Dichtiv, because the verse says, Vidatem, and you will know, Ki ani Hashem, that I am Hashem, Befitchit kivrotechem, when I open your graves, so God says, I myself will open your graves and bring you back to life. So we see the key to bringing back to life is in God's hands. Bemarava, in the west, what's west of Babylon? We're learning the Babylonian Talmud. West of Babylon is Israel. So in the west, meaning in Israel, Amrei, they said something else. Now, this is a little bit peculiar, because who's quoting this? Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is where? He's in the west. He's in Israel. He's the one from the Jerusalem Talmud. It's okay. Like I said, we're going to ask questions and get on your nerves. I'm sorry. What can you do? Marav Amrei. But you guys should be happy. We're covering ground. Marav Amrei. In the west, in Eretz Yisrael, they said the following. Amrei means the student said. The Beis Medrash said. Af Naftech Shel Parnasa. The key for Parnasa as well is in the hands of God. Dichtiv. Because the verse says, "Potech et yadecha," God opens His hands, "umasviel chol chay ratzon," and gives all living organisms who wish to be sustained, God sustains them. Rav Yochanan, my time alokachashiv, and why didn't Rav Yochanan enumerate parnasa? My time aloka chashiv leha. Why didn't he enumerate this one? Amar lach, Rav Yochanan would answer you. Kshemim haynu parnasa. When I said rain encompasses parnasa. I agree with him that parnasa is in the hands of God, but I've encompassed that by saying that the rain is in the hands of God. The key to rain is in the hands of God. Okay. So we saw the Gemara till here. We have not yet seen Rashi. We have 5 minutes. I'm tempted to leave Rashi for tomorrow when we will review the Gemara with Rashi. That's what I think we should do because I've incorporated Rashi as we read it. If you guys are okay with that, so then we'll expand a little bit on what we've discussed until now. Yeah? Yeah? So we said that there are three keys that are in the hands of God that were not given to a messenger. So,
what do you mean by messenger?
Oh, what do you mean by messenger? God has messengers? What's going on here? What do you mean by a key? If we want to get really philosophical, I'd ask you what we mean by God, but that's not today's class. But what are keys? What does it mean, a messenger?
Keys.
So we could understand. What? We could say
keys are like the power over things.
So let's see. We could look loosely and say that key is the power. But when you read how the Tanakh describes a woman giving birth, then what's it called when a woman has birth pains? Who knows what's it called in Hebrew? Something with a tzadi? When a woman has birth pains? Tzirim. What are tzirim in Hebrew? Tzirim are the hinges the door turns on. When a woman has birth pangs, it's called she has tzirim. And a woman's giving birth, it's called that Hashem is poteach daltei bitna. God opens the doors of her stomach. And what else? There are a few other terms. Just a second. I don't remember. There's another one or two terms when we describe the aspects of childbirth, which are all terms of a door. Whenever we discuss a woman giving birth, the Tanakh, the terms that the Tanakh uses to describe a woman giving birth is like a door opening up. The Mishnah Nida, even when it describes how a woman is built, discusses the different rooms in a woman. The Mishnah discusses anatomically how where a woman's spirit comes from, where the child comes from, how everything develops. It discusses the doors, the rooms. That's how the Mishnah discusses how a woman's built. So, Maftach in that respect fits okay. What about the rain? What do we say? Which verse did we say about Parnasa? Poteach, what was the word, first word you said? Poteach. Poteach, Maftach, Poteach es Yadech. So you could say, Poteach et Yadech, God opens his hands. You could say that. How did we describe, what verse did Rav Yochanan quote? Yiftach Hashem lecha tzorot tov. God should open for you his storage house. Again, we have something locked, God has to open it. It's not just that God is the one in charge of it. When we read that they're not given in the hands of a messenger, so what does that mean? So first, let's read the words. Shalom nimsuhu, we're not given over. Beyad, into the hand. What does it mean, into the hand, though? If I pray, and as a result of my prayer, God will do something, does that mean it was given into my hand? No. It means that God was willing to open it because I prayed. For the first question we asked, that we said that over here we enumerated the key for chaya. Chaya means childbirth. Chaya does not mean pregnancy. So when we say bni is bizchuta es b'mazlat al yamita, how many children a person will have, that's contingent on his mazel, that's how many kids he's going to have. That's not a question of how many childbirths will come out successful. So that's not a question at all. When we say mizone, a person's parnasa is contingent on mazel, so here we can't get away with such an easy answer.
You can't say that Hashem controls the rain, but we can probably do the rain.
Okay. The Gemara records that there was a man who didn't have money to buy, his wife passed away, he had a baby at home, and he didn't have money to get a nurse, a wet nurse, to feed his child. So God had him develop his chest, and he was able to feed the baby. He developed like a woman, and he nursed the baby. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, look at how amazing Parnassa is. That God could have done another miracle, made the guy find $1,000 in the corner of his house, and then go out and hire a wet nurse. That would seem to be an easier miracle. Doesn't say God did that. That didn't happen. Which miracle happened? The guy develops like a woman and he feeds the babies. The Gemara says, from here we see that the Parnassa is more difficult than even the miracle of going against nature, making a person being able to feed his child. So when we say that the key is in the hands of Hashem, on the one hand we're saying we could pray to Hashem and God will open it. When we say that it's b'mazla talya milta, so there are two midrashim. One Medrash says, En mazal Yisrael, Jews don't have a mazal. Another Medrash says that Jews can always overcome their mazal with prayer. And if we go with that version, the Midrashim disagree with one another, if we go with that Medrash, the Jews can always overcome it with prayer, so we could understand that a person, how much parnasa he's going to have, that's his mazal. That's not his chus. Now, can you overturn it or not? So that might be that key is in the hand of Hashem, and by praying we could get God to open it up. And this leads us to another question, which is why pray altogether? The Gemara asks, why do we bother praying? We get judged on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so let us pray between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. End the story. All year long, what are we praying for? The Gemara asks this. The Gemara says, you're judged then. So the Gemara says that a person can always yell to Hashem, even after he's been judged, and everything's been decreed, and in heaven it's been signed and sealed. You do tshuva, you daven, then it could be overturned. And with that, we could also maybe understand here. It's true, you're going to have mazel. Are you going to be rich or are you going to be poor? It says that 40 days into conception, the malach, whose name is Laila, shows up before God, and he takes the drop of the baby, and he brings it before God and says, what's going to be with this drop? Is he going to be rich? Is he going to be poor? And he asks him a whole list of questions. What's going to be with this baby? And God answers for each one, but he doesn't ask, is he going to be God-fearing or not? That's in our hand. So with our God-fearingness, with our proper prayer, we could have God open up the key. We could have it open, even though our mazel is what's going to define where we land. There's a frightening Gemara. The Gemara says that King David prayed about King Saul, and he said all kinds of things about what King Saul's doing with him. His father-in-law, King Saul, is trying to kill him, Shaul HaMelech, and he turns to God and he says, God, save me from this guy. And as he's doing it, he speaks not nicely about Shaul. So God tells David HaMelech, he tells him, if you would be he, and he would be you. And Rashi says that means if you were born in his mazel and he were born in your mazel, you know how many Davids I would have killed in front of Shaul, meaning if you would have been the father-in-law and he would have been the son-in-law, and the kingdom was supposed to switch like this, and the situations were reversed, and I want you to know that he's such a big tzaddik that I would have killed out many, many Davids before Shaul. The mazel had it that the situation is like this, you're going to end up having the Davidic dynasty. What does that mean? So that's a long question. We have to discuss what does mazel mean. But we see that mazel has great influence. It could cause King David to be David and Shaul to be Shaul. And on the other hand, Jews can overcome it. Like the Medrash says, that through prayer and through doing tshuva, we could overcome it. You guys with me? Okay. So God willing, we'll continue.